Hi, and welcome back to the Mission Minded Podcast. I'm Jim Tingler with co-host Mitch Deans today.
Hey, Jim.
Glad to have you.
It's good to be here.
So we actually just wrapped up the podcast with Zach Soles.
We did. Yeah, it was a good one.
Yeah, it was. It's fun. Zach's on the iTech team. He's the director of Mission Transportation. And so we're going to get into what Mission Transportation is and trying to help solve the problems of transportation in remote area mission.
Right. And also hear a bit about Zach and his family's journey into ministry. Yeah. Definitely a faithful journey by the two of them and their family. So I hope that encourages you guys as you watch and listen as well.
I know it will. And I'm excited for it. So
yeah.
One of the things we like to do is kick off with a mission quote of the day. Mitch, and did you come prepared with a mission quote?
I did. I'm going to read it out so I don't butcher it. But this quote is from David Platt that says, "Unreached peoples are unreached for a reason. They're hard, difficult, and dangerous to reach. All the easy ones are taken." So I thought that quote is definitely appropriate for what we just talked about with Zach with Mission Transportation.
Indeed. And if David Platt is out there, you have an open invitation to come join us on the Mission Minded Podcast. We'd love to have you. But I think, you know, this pretty much, that quote sums up the challenge that Zach is working through in Mission Transportation. So
definitely.
It's good stuff. So, Mitch, you have an accent.
I do. A soft accent, but there's definitely a little accent there. Yeah.
So for those who might not be able to place it, where are you from?
I'm from England.
Okay.
No, I'm actually from Australia. Most people think I'm from England.
I would have thought that too.
When I speak with them, but no, from Australia, the land down under.
You know, one of the things that really surprised me, you know, we have, I guess it's across the country, but the Outback Steakhouse. And in my mind, when I think of Outback, you know, that is the Australian place to go, but that's really not the Australian experience.
It is not. It's actually just a marketing strategy. There's nothing that you eat at Outback Steakhouse that originated in Australia.
It's like false advertising.
It is. They're using and abusing Australia's name. And
so the Bloomin' Onion, that's not an Australian dish?
It's not. Bloomin' is a word that, I mean, older folks in Australia might use, but
okay. They should have, if this was going to be an Australian culture experience, Vegemite should be on that.
It should menu. Be the first thing on the menu, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. It's a delicacy.
Describe, for those who have not experienced Vegemite, what is this dish?
Well, it's a spread. Most Americans hate it because everything here is sweet. Yeah. And you need a lot of it, but with Vegemite, it's kind of salty and you just need a thin spread. Goes really well with cheese on a piece of toast.
Okay.
Yeah.
And how do I say it again?
Vegemite.
Vegemite.
Yeah.
Okay. What was confusing to me when I had Vegemite was it almost looks like a mix between like a jelly and a peanut butter. I guess that's what's confusing. You think it's going to taste like jelly.
Yeah. It almost looks like chocolate too, like Nutella.
Yeah,
but it's definitely not chocolate or Nutella.
Yeah, it's an experience, that's for sure.
Yeah, it's an acquired taste.
You
have to grow up liking it.
Yeah, well, good stuff. Well, hey Mitch, thanks for joining in on the podcast.
Yeah,
it's fun to have you.
Yeah, it's good to be here for my first official podcast.
Yeah, good stuff. You did a great job, and I know everybody's gonna enjoy it, so let's get right to it.
Welcome to Mission Minded, the podcast where we explore outside-the-box thinking in carrying out Christ's Great Commission. On this week's episode of Mission Minded, we are joined by iTech's Director of Transportation, Zach Soles. Our sponsor for today's podcast is Dignity Roasters Coffee, locally roasted and packaged by the distressed to fuel each day. Dignity Roasters was born through a passion to partner with the distressed and the desire of bringing the universally loved beverage of coffee to your hands. To order your own coffee or to learn more about Dignity Roasters, visit their website at dignityroasters.com. Now here's our host, Jim Tingler and Mitch Deans.
Zach, welcome to the studio. Thanks for joining us on the podcast
today. Thanks for having me today, guys. Great to be here.
Yeah, Zach and Mitch Dean's in the house.
Hey, guys.
Mitch, real quick, let's test that microphone and get a little bit of that Australian flavor out
sure.
there.
G'day, guys. How's it going? We're coming to you from Central Florida at iTech's offices. It's good to be here.
Yeah.
How was that?
That was great. It was perfect.
Good.
So, Zach, we want to, you know, hear a little bit about your story today. We want to talk a little bit about the work you're doing. But first, Mitch, you had a question you always like to start off with.
Yeah, so there's a question I always ask people when I'm getting to know them. Obviously, I know you, Zach, but there's people out there listening and watching now that don't. So we want to ask you, what do you do, Zach Soles, for fun?
Oh, my. Well, right now, mm-hmm. Here in Florida, I do some fishing. I have 5 children. So a lot of the times it's just kind of having fun with them at home. Mm-hmm. A lot of times I'm just really just taking care of the house. But that's fun sometimes. But I love to fly personally. Mm-hmm. I love flying and I love working on airplanes. Crazy enough, even though it is my job, I love doing it. It's a lot of fun for me. But really, I just like getting outdoors with the kids and with my wife and just having a good time together. Quality time. That's really fun for me.
That's great.
What kind of fishing have you done since moving to Florida?
Well, I've done some surf fishing, and that is a lot of fun.
Is that surfing while you're fishing?
That'd be pretty
cool. That'd be impressive, yeah.
That sounds Australian, actually.
There you go.
No, actually, so you're just hanging out on the beach, mm-hmm. throwing a rod in the water or casting around the water.
right.
And then, just fishing and just a lot of fun. Get to hang out on the beach, let the kids play, mm-hmm. reel in fish here and there. And just hopefully you're not getting sunburned.
Nice. Good stuff. Well, Zach, why don't you share a little bit about your story and how you arrived to being a part of the iTech team, which you've been on the team now for a little over a year, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So came here last year in January. Okay. So January 2019 is when we arrived.
Or 2020. I'm telling you, 2020 is a time. It's a time vortex. You say, what day is it? What month is it? It's just, it's all a blur.
It is. Yeah. I'm sorry. 2020, January.
2020.
My wife is already getting on me. I know it.
Yeah. So 2020, you came in, joined the iTech team, and before we talk about how you got there, it was a rough, rocky start right from the get-go. So you came in January, right?
Right. Yeah. And then, so I worked here for a month.
Okay.
I was doing a lot of work on an airplane that was going to be exported to Ecuador.
Okay.
And then I was... there I was, enjoying myself on Valentine's Day, playing a game of Jungle Pong.
Okay. And for those that might not know, Mitch, why don't you explain what Jungle Pong is?
So Jungle Pong, for those who have never played it, is kind of the craziest ping pong that I've ever played. You play with a group of, say, 10 to 15 people. One of the rules is you have to let the ball hit the ground before you hit it again, and it can lead to some pretty crazy times on our fun Fridays after lunch.
Yeah, so fun Friday after lunch, we play Jungle mm-hmm. Pong. And it's great because, you know, as many people that, you know, want to play can play.
Right.
So there we were, an extreme game of...
Man, so I was on the other side of the table.
Yeah.
I don't remember who it was.
Okay.
But they hit it into the net.
Yeah.
And it was rolling... opposite side of the table from me, and so I said, I played racquetball before, I can get there. So I sprinted as fast as I could around the table, quick break, 180 degree turn, pushed off my left leg to hit it, and it felt like I kicked a box and I fell over.
Yeah.
And I went, something's not right here.
Yeah. And you tore your Achilles tendon.
Yeah, I did.
Yeah.
Playing
ping pong.
Playing ping pong.
Playing ping pong. So, yeah, it's actually a pretty good scar on your leg for those who wouldn't be able to see it to describe it. It's like a 6-inch
Well, yeah, it's probably more like 4 inches. We gotta make it, you know. But yeah, yeah, okay. Right. Yeah. Yeah. No, it's a pretty good scar. It's a little zipper scar. They actually did surgery and put it back together.
Right.
But, you know, Steve Saint always says that God does not waste hurts.
Right. Right.
And, you know, people with wounds look for people with scars.
Yeah.
And so actually Steve Saint tore his Achilles tendon.
Really?
Yeah.
Didn't know that.
And
Joshua Chang, I think, has torn both of them.
Both of them.
Yeah. Not at the same time.
No,
but different times. Yeah. Yeah.
But yeah, so interestingly enough, you know, I don't know if it helped the relationship or not, but
a way to relate.
Yeah, yeah. A way to relate. And so, you know, I think it was a time of testing for sure.
Yeah.
God just used that time. It was definitely a time of humility.
Sure. You were, but you got here, you hit the ground running. We had the ping pong incident. We didn't really have a good name for it, but
no,
it's just, I don't know how we could phrase it in a way that sounds extreme, but
the great snap of 2020,
the great snap.
That works. That works. I like it. So you were on the recovery road, and in that process, you come in and get back to work only to have COVID as a complication.
Yeah, so it was March.
Mm-hmm.
Really getting back to work, being able to walk around, and then all of a sudden COVID hit.
Yeah.
And the office closed down, I believe, for a month.
We were out for a good amount of time. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It got complicated. So there you were. You had your whole family, 5 kids, moving down. You're starting out, getting going, and then kind of get things pulled back. You get started again, get pulled back. And so it wasn't a smooth start.
No, it wasn't. It wasn't at all. But, you know, it definitely felt like some resistance last year in a lot of different ways.
Right.
And I think that's maybe to be expected when you're going and you're putting yourself out there for God, you know, and just saying, hey, whatever you want, God.
Yeah.
And I really feel like this whole story that we're about to talk about is God's story. He's written it into our lives.
Yeah. Yeah. So, and speaking of which, I mean, just going back before that January of 2020, what brought you to iTech? And there's a lot of people out there that are listening that are wrestling with what role do I play in the Great Commission and mission type of work.
Right.
And you were one of those individuals.
Yeah, for sure. Well, I became a Christian when I was 18. And shortly after that time, I'd say within a matter of hours, I felt the Lord speak to me and he said, I want you to be a missionary pilot. And at that time, I didn't even know what that was. So I went back home. Google existed then. And I Googled missionary pilot. Well, the first thing that came up was Missionary Aviation Fellowship and JARS. And so I started looking at schools, you know, what schools do they recommend, and saw a bunch of different schools that were recommended. And really just a time of praying and seeking God, he did confirm that that's the direction I should pursue. So I went to Laterno University. And there I became pilot mechanic flight instructor, and with the goal of, you know, one day becoming a missionary pilot. And my first job out of school, I actually moved to the hometown where MAF is based, not even knowing it, right? And so I just took a job as an aerial photography pilot. So we move out there, and so I said, you know, I think God has us here to be with MAF. I think that's it. Like, why not, right? He called me.
Right.
Places you where he wants you, for sure.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. But that's just not how the story went. Yeah.
So for those who might not know, a missionary pilot, what does that look like? What type of role does that play on mission work?
So a missionary pilot is one that will go and get a professional pilot education for the most part. They don't always have to go to professional school in that regard, but they'll go through and get their commercial certificate and then fly, you know, for a number of hours getting experience, but then also before they leave school or shortly after, they'll become an aircraft mechanic, and we call that an A&P mechanic, airframe and power plant.
Yeah.
So
that makes sense. I mean,
yeah,
you should be able to fix your own airplane if you're in the middle of
now,
who knows where.
Most places, though, like MAF, you're either a pilot or you're a mechanic. But if you're in a pinch,
sure,
they want you to know, okay,
yeah,
how do I fix this?
So. Right, right. So there you were. You went to Letourneau. You got the education. You got the training. You're in the same town of one of these organizations that you felt like you could be a part of.
Yeah.
So what happened next?
Well, interesting set of circumstances. God ended up calling us away from the aerial photography job. I was traveling too much. I needed to spend more time with the family. And if anybody out there can relate, becoming a pilot is rather expensive. So we had to be able to pay the bills essentially for the student loans. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we prayed and we sought godly counsel, and the godly counsel that was given to us is get out of aviation. You're just not going to make the money you need. So we prayed and God ended up providing an opportunity to work as a food and beverage millwright, which is completely different than, you know, my skill line. And I felt like God was saying, hey, I'm going to push you in the pool here. I'll throw you the floaties later. So it was like, okay, you're going to learn how to swim here. And definitely was. But it was a great time. I spent 5 years there. I grew a lot. And I ended up becoming a project manager. Did a lot of design and fabrication and engineering there, which is also a passion of mine. I love to design and build. And through the process, realized, hey, I think I might want to be back in aviation, but maybe in manufacturing. And this is kind of towards the end of my five-year commitment. So we're talking about 2019 in the summer. And so I was having some internal issues at work. God was kind of stirring me up and saying, hey, I don't want you to be comfortable here. The money was great, but I just felt unsettled. God was saying, hey, it's time to start moving out of where you're at. And at that point, I went, well, I have four kids, actually five at that point. And I said, I can't get back into aviation. It doesn't pay enough. And so God just was going, hey, trust me. And in fact, one of my friends called me, and I was really struggling one day. And he calls me up and goes, hey, God told me to call you. Shortly before that, I said, God, I just need to talk to somebody. And there he was calling me, and he gave me some advice. He said, it's time to leave. It's time to leave that job and to just trust God. And, you know, one of those things that, you know, I still talk about, and the hair kind of stands up on my arm. It just gives me goosebumps. Just God reaching down through my friend, just speaking into our lives. And that's when we really started asking questions. Okay, God, what do you want? Mm-hmm. What do you want from our family? And at that time, we met some people at church who were actually missionaries in Ecuador and Shell. And knew about iTech, and he kind of said, well, what about iTech? And I was on the phone with him, and I'm like, I'll have to look that up. I don't know anything about it. Well, come to find out, my wife had been watching iTech videos a year before that. God was growing her heart towards iTech before mine. And so it was just an interesting process. I wanted to maybe go into manufacturing and aviation because that's my passion. And God said, hey, I gave you a calling. I gave you a calling in missions. And so after that conversation with my friend, God just kept confirming and confirming iTech. And it was time to obey and visit. And so, there we were.
That's awesome.
So you, I mean, there's a little more to that story.
There is a little more.
Yeah. So you came for a visit, though.
We did.
Yeah.
Yeah. And what was funny is we were going to have our church sponsor our trip down just because, hey, we want to come as a family if we came. Well, my boss ended up calling me. We were in Michigan on a family vacation. And we were going to literally drive back to Idaho. We were driving back. I was booking the rooms. And my wife goes, you shouldn't do that. I'm like, what? What are you talking about? If I don't book now, then the rooms are going to become unavailable. And she's like, I just don't feel like you should. Well, I didn't listen. And I booked the rooms. 20 minutes later, my boss at the food and beverage company, Millwright Company, calls me up and says, hey, Zach, I'm in Miami. I'm in desperate need of help. I had to put a guy in a different job. Would you be willing to come down? I'll pay for your whole trip. Come to Florida. And so we just really felt like that was God saying, hey, I am going to pay for your whole trip. I'm going to pay your way. I want you to come here. And so he was kind of giving us that open invitation to come down here. So we did. We came down and we ended up taking a tour here. And I don't know if you remember that day, Jim.
Of course I do.
Yeah.
Yeah, we, you know, it's funny. God, you know, is working a bigger story than we can ever know. We were in a situation where we were just sending the professor on the road. For those who don't know, the professor is Aaron Thiessen.
Yeah.
And he had worked with our UAV program, a lot of different engineering projects around iTech. And still hope to have him on the podcast one day.
Yeah.
But he and his family had, you know, closed a chapter of iTech, starting another one, and they were just going on the road. And we said, what are we going to do? Who and how can we fill a role that this guy was, you know, playing on our team? Lo and behold, Zach and his family just show up same day for a tour.
So, yeah, yeah. Yeah. It ended up being the same day that Aaron was driving away in a U-Haul, right?
Yep. Yeah.
So, and lo and behold, the house that he lived in was perfect for our family. It was like God was saying, hey, do I have to make this more clear to you?
More than coincidence.
Yeah. So, there we were. And so we talked with Jim in the office, and Jim says, yeah, we were just talking about how we needed a project manager in the UAV program. And so we went home, prayed about it. And, you know, I think the big thing was there was actually another missions group that we toured while we were here in Florida. God had opened up two opportunities. And the big reason why we're here, and that's, you know, the why, right, is that no matter what we're doing, even if one day I'm not in flying airplanes, even if I'm sweeping the floor, I hope that whatever I do furthers the mission of iTech, right? And that was the why.
Yeah.
We said we want to be doing missions in a healthy manner.
Right.
And so, you know, we're just so happy to be here.
Yeah. Well, we couldn't be happier to have you here as well. And the way that God orchestrated the story, you know, again, it's more than coincidence. So we're thankful to have you on the team. And we'll talk a little bit about what exactly, you know, that looks like on a daily basis. You're a part of the mission transportation team. You're the director of mission transportation at iTech, but you're addressing a challenge in transportation for remote area mission. So can you explain what that challenge is, the transportation side?
So, you know, oftentimes, deep in the Amazon, for instance, there's people. I mean, our whole iTech is founded upon that story. But oftentimes, people are in reach because they're hard to reach. And, you know, for instance, we were just doing some training with a friend of mine, and it would take nearly a whole day for them to bring medicine to a clinic. But with the platform that we provided to him, it only takes 20 minutes. So it's pretty incredible.
Well, so what is, I mean, are we allowed to talk about this platform?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah, I think so.
Okay. So, yeah, I mean, what were the differences again? So how far or how long?
So what would take typically an 8-hour trek?
Okay.
So you're driving, you know, 4 or 5 hours through the mountains, and then you have to take another 3-hour boat ride.
Okay.
So, okay. So 8 hours just to bring medicine, and it could just be a small vaccine or some antibiotics or whatever.
Okay.
Up to this medical clinic, but with the iTech Flying Wing platform, we're able to fly that medicine out in a matter of 25 to 40 minutes. So
this is a UAV.
Yeah.
Okay. Unmanned aerial.
Right. It's fully autonomous. So. Okay. Yep.
Is it UAV or UAS?
So UAS is more of an industry standard.
Okay.
Terminology. Okay. Yeah. So UAS is probably more official.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Well, that's exciting stuff. And, you know, the challenge of transportation, I don't think we have in the U.S. or North America, we don't necessarily have that context. We don't understand right. what it would take for a 4-hour drive, 3.5-hour boat ride.
Right. Yeah. And even, you know, if you had to take supplies out to a jungle village, for instance, maybe you're taking generator parts out. Hmm. It's hilly. It just rained. Imagine that, you know, maybe you do have boots on, but the only way to carry this generator is with 2 bamboo poles and 2 guys. And it would take you 5 hours to maybe, you know, go 5 or 7 miles or less. So, you know, it can definitely inhibit how people are able to be reached. So, and that's our goal in Mission Transportation, is to equip Indigenous Christ followers so that we can reach hard to reach areas, and really taking a new approach to that, and kind of going, okay, well, traditionally aviation is thought when you say, okay, mission transportation, right?
Mm-hmm.
But we're talking more about land, air, and sea here. It's not just aviation.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, but oftentimes people think, you know, the airways are the solution. When you think remote area, you know, transportation.
Yeah.
That's often the airways, but it's not always.
Yeah. And it isn't always, you know, for instance, there might be island chains, and there might be pirates that would hear an airplane. And if you're taking supplies to that island, they might come and steal it. So how do you get out a medicine out to those people? Right.
Right.
Without it being noticed. So that could be, you know, a submersible vehicle, which we call an ROV.
Okay.
Yep. A remote autonomous vehicle. So there's just a lot of different ways we can look at that. But also in the air, okay, we're looking at a platform that for right around $2,000, you can have a platform that'll fly medicine out. But, you know, ultimately, the big thing is here, I'm not trying to sell a platform.
Sure. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's not the goal. The goal is just to think outside the box when it comes to some of the challenges people are facing in remote areas.
Right.
Yeah. That's good.
You had mentioned, Zach, that you're equipping Christ followers in these areas.
Right.
You're obviously developing this tool, the UAV, and other things like it. What does that equipping process look like in those remote areas?
Yeah. So with the Flying Wing, it might be just providing training. So, for instance, we provided a training on the state side.
Mm-hmm.
And then that we're basically training the trainer with that Flying Wing platform. They're going to take it back to their country of origin and then train the Indigenous local Christ followers to use this technology. So that's essentially how we're going out and equipping them. And obviously, you know, the goal here at iTech is that we're equipping Indigenous Christ followers so that they have a more meaningful participation in the Great Commission.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And is that a rigorous process, learning to fly the UAV?
It can be.
Yeah.
So usually we start off someone on, I would say, a more docile platform, RC plane.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, one that we just put together out of foam board costs $20. So if you crash it, it's not a big deal.
Right.
You know, we try not to crash the Flying Wing platform because it does cost a little bit more. But yeah, it is a rigorous process. It takes probably about a month to take someone through the process. But our goal is to train people that really don't have a lot of aviation experience. and to say, hey, you know, in your organization, you could potentially use this. And even outside of this platform, what are the ways in which the Mission Transportation Department can address your transportation needs and say, hey, let's think outside of the box here. Let's let's find new solutions for your problems. Because face it, I mean, that's one of the largest hurdles in missions is reaching those unreached people. Well, why are they unreachable, right? We already said this. Because they're hard to reach because of the terrain.
Absolutely. Well, you could think of even just, you know, a medical emergency of somebody in a remote place. You know, if it takes a day to hike out of wherever to get help, I mean, that's life or death situation.
Right.
So to be able to provide a service, and whether it is through an aircraft or motorboat or different all-terrain vehicle. So thinking outside the box.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. Yep.
It's good. You know, Mitch, I've even seen Amazon talk about delivering some of these things.
Yeah.
What do you think about that?
Technology's progressing pretty rapidly. And I think, yeah, God's definitely bringing factors in. Even in this past century, you think about travel via air with airplanes and just the fact that the gospel is able to be spread so much readily through missionaries and now through opportunities through UAV.
Yeah, I mean,
it's pretty remarkable.
So it's becoming more and more of a common, I guess, thing for us to see, you know, drones being used, whether it be delivering things. And, you know, as you mentioned, you know, the past, you know, several hundred years, we've seen quite the progression in transportation, you know, and I wonder what is this going to look like, you know, 10 years from now, 20 years from now, even in, you know, some of this transportation, some of the challenges that we would face now, 20 years from now, what is this going to look like?
Yeah, I think we're in really exciting times. The technology just keeps exponentially developing. And, you know, one of the things that we're looking at for this partner in East Asia is a delivery system that can pick up 40 pounds. And so that would be by air, of course. But it would take, you know, a bag of medicine essentially out into deep into the jungle and drop it off. So just kind of looking at that and going, okay, well, a lot of commercial platforms like Amazon, they can cost upwards to $100,000 or, you know, $50,000 to $100,000. We're looking at it and saying, okay, how can we take a similar technology but make it to where it's cost effective to where the indigenous Christ follower could utilize that?
Right. Yeah. It's exciting stuff. So, yeah, we often have a context of, you know, using the UAVs. I've even, you know, been intrigued by the Tesla have the automated driving system, and they're setting it up so that you can allow your Tesla car, it's not there yet, but it's getting there, to operate as an Uber or a Lyft when you're not using it.
Wow.
So what technology is progressing for a stateside? How do you take that idea, you know, it's obviously not going to work the same, but automation, UAVs, you know, what ways can that help support the remote area mission work?
Yeah, I mean, it's incredible to see as the technology comes out, just as it can lift more weight and have a longer endurance as far as, you know, how much time can it actually be in the air? How many miles can it fly? We're really looking at kind of on the cusp and the cutting edge of utilizing that in missions. And I do think that it is going to revolutionize how we interact with the unreached world. We're going to be able to bring supplies and, you know, see the gospel affected by this technology. So, yeah, our goal is just to get that technology, or at least consult with groups who are interested in into their hands.
Ministering those areas. That's crazy stuff. What do you think about flying in an automated vehicle, Mitch?
I don't know. I think that would be, I mean, computers can fail, right?
They can, but I don't know. What do you think, Zach?
Well, you know, being a pilot myself, I like to have the controls.
Okay.
I like to be able to control, you know, and drive my car.
Yeah.
I don't know. But here's the thing is that a lot of these vehicles have redundancies and fail safes.
Sure.
To where if something went wrong, you know, they're more than likely it's just going to softly land on the ground under power. So,
yeah.
The most commercial flights, they pretty much take off and land on their own, right? The pilots are just there to make sure nothing goes wrong?
They can.
Okay.
Not quite there yet. Some do. Yeah. In a test. So recently they just had some general aviation aircraft that, you know, if let's just say your pilot passed out, you could press a button and this thing would land, find the nearest airport and land itself.
Wow.
Which is pretty incredible technology.
Yeah.
And we're talking about a 6-seater airplane that, you know, is doing 150 miles per hour or more.
So yeah.
It's pretty incredible.
It is. Wow.
Yeah. That's going to change a lot of the ways that we interact in remote places. But when we're talking about the things that you've worked on recently, are there any success stories from the past that you guys have worked on? I know you just recently were involved in some training.
Right.
But other than that, have you been able to help somebody else in maybe not a UAV platform, maybe in other ways?
Well, you know, what's interesting, the Mission Transportation Department, which it's had other names through the years here at ITEC, with Troy Townsend and Aaron Thiessen.
Yep.
You know, I got to tip my hats to those guys. They've done an awesome amount of work here.
Sure.
So anyways, in the past, they've actually, Steve Saint worked with Tementa in Ecuador with Gallo Ortiz, and they brought Tementa up here to Florida, trained him in a powered parachute, which when the government there in Ecuador heard that, they're like, you can't train somebody from the jungle. Are you crazy? Well, guess what? They did. And Tementa went down to the Amazon in Ecuador, and he served his people for, I think, 2.5-3 years. Wow. It's a pretty incredible story. Then as well, we've trained, when I say we, it's Troy.
Right. So before,
go ahead.
But what is a powered parachute? Because I know that there's probably a lot of things that come to mind when people think of that. I mean, I've seen those guys. We actually have a guy on our team named Bo who has a propeller and a parachute and basically flew from here to Oshkosh, Wisconsin, which is just crazy. But that's not what you're talking about. There's more to it than a backpack and a parachute.
Right. So it's actually a parachute that is attached to a 2-seater vehicle.
Okay.
It has a big propeller in the back with an engine that propels it forward. It has 3 big wheels. So it's like a kind of like a tricycle.
Okay.
And so you can actually fit a large amount of supplies in these, and they are relatively inexpensive when you're talking about aviation.
Okay.
They don't fly very fast. Now, when it takes off, it's, you see the parachute come up over you.
Right.
And then you're off within, you know, a matter of 50 feet. It doesn't take long at all.
Okay.
Which is pretty exciting as far as getting into tight places in and out. But you're only going about 30 miles per hour. But what's amazing about that technology is that you can take somebody with very little experience. Like, let's say a Tementa. They didn't have any aviation experience. You can teach them within a month or two. And they can go back to their home and their country of origin and then take the technology and affect people for the gospel.
Hmm.
And that's really exciting.
Yeah. So it's, you know, less time for training. You're not going to be able to go as fast.
Right.
But you can still get people in and out of difficult places.
Right. And some of them actually with the pilot, you have a payload of 500 pounds.
Wow.
Which is incredible. Yeah.
Hmm. So you had another story though.
Sorry. So the other one, and it's really exciting, is Glenn Chapman, and he's been working in Africa with a powered parachute. Now he's just a school teacher, and he came to iTech.
Well, for all the yeah. school teachers out there, we won't say just a school teacher.
Well, when I say just a school teacher, I'm saying no previous aviation experience. Good point. Do amazing work, by the way.
There you go.
I highly admire you.
Okay.
But when I say that, I'm saying no previous aviation experience. And he came in, was trained here in Florida at our airport here, and took the powered parachute back. And he's been reaching nomadic tribes in Africa. And he'll fly out. They usually have a soccer field because soccer's very important.
Right.
And he'll land in the soccer field. He'll set up a projector screen and show the Jesus film and minister to them.
That's cool.
Which is really great.
Yeah. And I'm not sure where he's at now, but I remember that story in here, and he had just flown over 500 flights with his powered parachute. Yeah. And that was years ago.
It was years ago, yeah.
So, yeah, he's continued to fly. And
I believe he's been doing it for around 10 years.
Wow.
Which is incredible.
It's yeah.
huge. Yeah.
That's cool. So that could be, you know, rather than just thinking, hey, you need a Cessna aircraft, you know, there's other possibilities. If you're just needing to get a small amount of goods, it might be a UAV. If you're just trying to get the people somewhere and it doesn't matter the speed in which you're getting there, it might be a powered parachute. And then what are maybe some of the other things that could be a potential solution? Sure.
Yeah. You know, it could be potentially, you know, let's just say an outboard motor in a river. The river is sandy and you're eroding the propeller too quickly. How would I address this problem? And so we would look at solutions there. It might be that, for instance, you might have some type of a off-road vehicle. Maybe it just needs modifications done to it. There's just a lot of different things that we can look at within the land, air, and sea element.
Yeah.
And just what we want to do is we want to take the legwork out for ministries.
Right.
We want to be a consultant for them and say, okay, what would be the best solution for you and to fit your needs specifically and really work with that person. So we're coming to the person first or they're coming to us and saying, hey, help me. And so I'm not just saying, hey, here's a shiny object that looks great. And, you know, maybe it's a dirt bike or whatever. I'm saying this is the best dirt bike for the money. Well, no, I want to say, okay, what would fit your need the best and really tailor it for that group or individual.
Trying to take an empathetic approach and listen to the challenge.
That's right.
Yeah. So Mitch, I think you come from a land where there's a lot of travel hindrances in Australia.
Yep. The country's pretty much in lockdown still. So.
Oh, well, I wasn't thinking about COVID. I was just, I don't know. Again, I've got, you know, the movies like Crocodile Dundee and things that come to mind. So I don't know if you've seen any interesting all-terrain vehicles or do you recall any ways people got around in Australia that was maybe a little unique?
I mean, there's a whole lot of desert in Australia. Kind of the majority of the center of Australia is desert. And they have long stretches of roads, but I've actually never been out there, so I can't speak much into that.
Probably a lot of Land Rovers and stuff.
Yeah, quite a few.
Okay.
4x4s and whatnot.
That's good stuff. Well, let's see here. We have we had some questions we're going to work through today, and I think we've hit most of our highlights. Mitch, did you have anything else that came to mind?
Yeah, I was going to ask one last question. You spoke a lot about equipping the Indigenous believers, and I mean, at iTech, we're wanting to empower the local church around the world to be a part of the Great Commission. I guess for the listeners out there who are maybe not on the mission field, maybe thinking about how they can be a part of the Great Commission. You've obviously used your skills and your passions for the gospel, for the Great Commission, and to serve God. I guess what would your challenge be to people in that position, wondering, God, what can you do with my skills and my passions?
Right. Yeah. You know, really, we're looking at a collaborative work here, right? Mm-hmm. The Great Commission isn't just for me, and it isn't just for you guys.
Mm-hmm.
Every Christ follower has been given a command of the Great Commission to go out and to do the work. Now, that's going to look different for every person, and that's the way it should be.
Mm-hmm.
I think, you know, God gives everybody a different thumbprint for a reason.
Right.
Right. And given that person unique giftings and abilities, and I think to that person, I would say in my personal life, my walk with Christ is to say, I submit to you, God, in whatever you want, right? And just seeking him in that regard,
mm-hmm.
and just be willing to say yes to what he puts before you. And I've come to the point to where I've tried to push my story along. It's been a 12-year journey to get into missions. I thought it was, you know, I thought I should go to MAF, but God had a different plan.
Right.
And when I tried to push that plan, it didn't work. So, you know, I just came to the point of saying, you know what? I surrender it to you. I give it to you.
Mm-hmm.
And so, but I'm not saying to have an inaction in that. I would definitely say that what you should be doing is getting involved in your local church.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, getting involved in what is your church doing to make an impact in global missions?
Right.
What can you do in your church to make an impact? What other groups can you get in touch with and involved with? And, you know, iTech here, we'd love to talk with those people and reach out to them and get them in touch with some materials that would help them engage. You know, what does this look like for me? How do I do this in a healthy manner to where I'm actually teaching them, you know, someone to fish instead of giving them a fish and just meeting their needs?
Mm-hmm.
So, and empowering people around the world to be obedient to the Great Commission. So, yeah. No, any other questions there?
No, that's good. Definitely, yeah, following God's leading, and even in your testimony, just seeing how God put the right people in your lives at the right time, and
right.
Yeah, you just followed his leading, which is, yeah, awesome to see.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, it's great stuff. We appreciate you just sharing a little bit about your journey. And yeah, just like you said, if there's somebody out there that is on their own personal journey trying to figure this out, we'd love to chat. And if you are interested, you can go to itechusa.org. and look at the contact us, and we'd be happy to start the conversation. So with that, let's wrap up this episode of the Mission Minded Podcast. Zach, thank you so much for joining us.
It's been great to be here, guys. Thanks.
Mitch, appreciate you. Jack. All right. And thank you for joining us.
Thank you for joining us for this week's episode of Mission Minded. For more information on today's topic and show notes, please visit our website, itechusa.org. Mission Minded Podcast is produced by iTech. The goal of this podcast is to inspire conversations about Great Commission participation. The views, organizations, and individuals represented, interviewed, and discussed on the podcast do not necessarily represent an official position or formal partnerships with iTech.